Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is on the air. We're still sort of in a post-PAX haze. We were hoping to get a guest on last week, and we were hoping to get that guest this week, and that guest did not show up again. So we're not going to say that guest's name and embarrass them and all that kind of stuff. We're just going to have them on randomly between now and our 200th episode and everything will be gravy. But
The
instead,
Paxover is strong.
we enjoy our popularity and our guests. In fact, we have a guest this week, do we not?
You do.
Oh my
Okay,
gosh.
good. I'm glad someone said something because I'm recording by myself in a room. No one was going to say it on my side.
So this week we have Julie back to guest on the show. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Brendan.
Hello.
Hello.
You may remember Julie from previous episodes. She was one of our first, if not the first guest, if I'm remembering correctly.
The internet would tell us that.
No, we could probably look it up, but not right now. But anyway, a lot has happened since we've had her on, and it wasn't actually the first time that we had her on. It was not the last time we had her on. We've had you on.
She's Peter.
We had you on in
I think this is a four-peat.
the
Is that a thing?
Sure.
Wait, pretend I didn't ask that. I should know this. I am the decider of things, so yeah, it's a thing.
Yes. Absolutely. Our goal and aims are aligned. That's definitely a thing. So welcome to our you're our first four-peat, Julie. I hope that's cool.
Sure.
First podcast
Yeah, until someone else gets four.
Well, then I just have to get
There we
five.
go. Excellent. Excellent. I don't know. We can talk about some stuff that we wanted to talk about, or is there any stuff you wanted to talk about before we go any further?
It's the middle of the week. I'm feeling pretty mellow and brain dead at the moment from working on some contract stuff. So ask away, bring up your topics.
Yeah, okay. Well, one of the topics that I know would probably be somewhat exciting to you, at least maybe a little bit, is because we haven't really talked about this, is those Apple announcements yesterday. I know those being a designer, I'm sure you have all sorts of opinions about Apple in general, but specifically about their brand new crazy big phones and watch.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about Apple announcements because they always have something interesting going on that's a combination of hardware and software. And the reason I feel mixed is that it's such a display. They drum it up so much. I'm just kind of irritated by it at this point. So I tend to watch it either over the shoulder of people huddled around a TV or a laptop screen, or I'll just wait for the write-ups afterward. So this time there were some interesting things about what they're exploring for the watch in particular. I noticed they saved that for their one last thing kind of thing, because they always have to do that.
So what you're saying is you're maybe just a little cynical about some of the Apple stuff.
Only because they fluff it up so much. It's like you can't have an annual announcement like this and call it revolutionary. You just can't. And a lot of the things that they're exploring now around context and just the level of awareness that they're looking at are things that Google has been doing. So they're really good at this, of finding things that people have explored, existing solutions, extracting interesting bits, and then repackaging like no one has ever thought of them.
So, Apple.
Pretty much.
That may not be their official slogan, but you know, other people did it. We'll make it look better.
Exactly. And I'm perennially grumpy about the way that phones are getting bigger and bigger and bigger because they don't fit in women's pockets, at least not in the front. And I refuse to carry it in the back pocket. Alan is looking at me because I'm currently wearing a pair of jeans that have 2.5-inch deep pockets. This is just what they do, and it
sounds like an average size pocket to me.
Do you have to wear your phone sideways because there's no other way that you can put it in your pocket?
No.
This is the difference between men's pants and women's pants. Not to even mention.
Well, we need
pants.
All that pocket room. You've got purses.
But I don't want to carry a purse all day.
Well, we also need pockets to carry our stuff and women's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because women's pockets aren't big enough. So well, this is the inequality. If the pockets were just a little bigger, everything would even out.
I guess that's the real issue, isn't it? Pocket equality.
Exactly.
We should raise awareness of pocket equality.
Right.
You wouldn't have to carry your stuff if you had bigger pockets. Yep. It's a patriarchal system, pockets. Should be overthrown.
Patriarchal pockets.
Yes.
Not a thing.
No, not a thing. Patriarchal pockets, not a thing. That's got to make it into the short blurb describing the episode.
Yeah.
Pocket patriarchy.
So what someone thought was interesting earlier was the iWatch is the solution to this. So you keep your crazy big phone, your iPhone Plus or whatever big phone thing you have in your larger carry item, your purse or your satchel if you're a man, or
attaché case.
Yes, and then you have your watch, which tells you all of your notifications and whatever else. So you will only go to your phone as kind of the emergency backup. So they're adding one further kind of quicker way to get to your information. Because the way I see phones, because phones are really like, smartphones especially, are really like extensions of like a laptop or a desktop. It's a smaller form factor, right? So they added like the iPad, so it's like one step easier, but you may not carry it with you all the time. Now your phone is there, and it's one step easier than an iPad, and you probably would carry it all the time, but maybe that's still too inconvenient to do when you're, say, driving. But a watch, you can do all the time. And so that's where, you know, they're trying to get to the point where if ideally they could have it just plastered in front of your eye 100% of the time, they would.
Yeah, it's called Google Glass.
Yeah.
Creepy.
It seems like it's all a big scam to get you to buy more crap. I mean, you're tethering one device that's tethered to another device that's tethered to another device.
Absolutely.
Why not just have one device? Maybe that's why they're making phones bigger, so that when they actually release this smaller item, you think, oh, it's so small. It's like, well, phones used to be that big.
I think they're doing it just to be different, because I noticed the iPhone 6 designs have the smoother bevel around the edge. Mm-hmm. So they just swing back and forth at will. It's like, okay, let's make this version hard edge. That's the modern thing. And then the next thing is, oh no, it's curved. And then they'll go back to hard edge. And so they have these just different dimensions that they play around with to make you always feel out of date.
Oh, so you heard it here first. The iPhone 7 is going to have rectangular edges. So says Julie Meridian, so say we all.
So say we all. Maybe Apple should take more of an Olympics approach and only release things every 4 years. And then people would go crazy. You might even get a higher fatality count at midnight releases.
guest of the podcast, Uday Gajendar, a while ago, he posted on Facebook, he thought that Apple should just sell their stuff blind the day before the announcement. They should just have a, go ahead and pre-order it. It's going to cost this much, and we won't tell you what it is, but you probably want it anyway, so go ahead and pre-order it now. Do like a blind box sale, which I think is hilarious, and I'm sure people would buy it. But what was really funny to me and ironic was that after the announcement, he kind of poo-pooed the watch as a glorified iPod Shuffle on a wristband. So I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have worked. I don't know. So if you were so kind of just from a verdict point of view, thing or not a thing, big phones. Would you get the iPhone 6 or would you get the 6 Plus?
Oh, not a thing. Definitely not a thing. I can't imagine myself carrying it around. Purse is not a solution for this. I think it really needs to be something that is on your body. Because think of how often you use your phone at home, or how often you get up from your desk at work and you go somewhere else. These are times when it would be very inconvenient to be having a purse strapped to you or when you're walking around all the time. So for me, not a thing. Maybe for guys and their large pockets, it's a thing.
I think the large phone and the iPhone 6 are not a thing. Also, the watch, not a thing, because it doesn't have the app that the Moto 360 has, which is an Android device watch that will allow you to have a GoldenEye watch display.
Yep.
I want that. That's a thing.
I saw that earlier today. I actually forgot to link it. That would have been great. But yeah, one of the things for the Moto 360 watch is that it makes it look like the watch from GoldenEye.
Like the pause screen with your health and your body
armor.
Yeah,
so, you know, the orange on one side and the blue on the other.
Well, really what I want is L cars. I want variants of L cars for all my devices.
I have the L cars app for my iPad. It doesn't do anything, but I still like to just press it and it makes the noises.
See?
I'm a grown man, by the way.
But it's such a shame. I don't think it would be that hard to have it be functional, to figure out a way to actually make it functional.
It'd have to be licensed from Paramount, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
But why not? They could do it. They would make so much money.
Right. I think they're just waiting for the right licensing deal. Because I want to say Motorola had a similar thing. I mean, it didn't work, but they were trying to get connected to, what was it, the iRobot stuff? Do you remember that a little while ago? Yeah, exactly. It didn't really work, is what we're trying to say.
Well, what we need to do if we want it to happen is we need Star Trek to get sold to Disney, because they will flog the shit out of it, like they have with Star Wars so far. I see Star Wars everywhere.
Yeah.
Good point.
It's licensed out for commercials. I'm seeing game commercials or ads on Facebook. It's everywhere. Saturation of the market.
Man, if Disney had both Star Trek and Star Wars, wow.
And they've got Marvel, so they pretty much would own nerds.
And to think Disney owns this.
Right. Well, that makes me think that there would be some kind of crossover. And I'm torn about that, because Star Trek is all about the kind of, there's this mystical side, but everyone is kind of out on their own doing their thing. And Star Trek is much more...
Star Wars is the mystical thing.
Star Wars, yes. So Star Trek is more like they eventually get this corporation thing going. Like, it's the Federation of Planets.
Equals the Corporation of Planets.
Pretty much, yeah. Because they do their mergers and acquisitions. They go find the new civilizations to bring in. They've got their guidelines. Like, it's... Everything is very regimented. So, I think it would be pretty disastrous to put those two worlds together.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we already kind of saw a crossover with J.J. Abrams directing Star Trek movies.
Right.
I guess so, but I felt like that just mostly made everything shiny.
That's a major component.
Right.
Although that was all the midichlorians.
I will say the scene when the Enterprise comes out of warp, firing all like phasers and torpedoes at the during I've already forgotten the when name they're... of the second movie. That's bad. But anyway, yes, when it drops out of warp and it is immediately firing phasers.
That was the first movie.
Was that the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the black hole, and it's getting sucked in, and they just, like, blow the crap out of it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's how Star Trek should look, I think. I still hold that that first Star Trek movie is one of the best ones. It's still no Wrath of Khan, but it's one of the better ones.
I would say it's still also no Undiscovered Country.
Ooh, that's a little further down on the list than I would put it, but
no, that's a solid number two. It's another directed by Nicholas Meyer. He did both movies.
Yeah, yeah.
The best Star Trek movies.
Is it bad that the main thing I think about when I think about that movie is the Klingon blood? This little
that looked like Pepto Bismol.
Yeah,
it was 1991 CGI. What do you expect?
Look, we can make blobs that deform.
It was groundbreaking.
That was the first time gravity failed on like a starship.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, they had those sweet space commando suits and phasers and
magnet.
No gravity. Yeah.
Right. Star Trek, man, still a thing. I don't know when. I don't know when the new movies are coming out. Probably. At some point in the future, not soon enough, but
the new Star Trek.
Yeah,
it's not being directed by Abrams,
right?
So probably in the next couple of years.
Hmm.
Probably like 2016, 17.
Yeah, that franchise. I mean, it's so it has so little direction. It's rough. I mean, I compare it to, you know, Star Trek versus Star Wars is kind of like DC versus Marvel in terms of like the level of direction and level of planning and commitment, really. I mean, Marvel has so many more movies ready to go kind of in the pipeline. They're planned out to like 2020 or something.
Wait, are
like
you
that.
Saying Star Wars is Marvel in this analogy?
I am, yeah. Yeah, because Star Wars at least has three
Marvel
movies
made, like,
coming up.
10 good movies in a row, and Star Wars is 3 for 6. Maybe 3.5 for 6.
They're at least planning ahead, is what I mean. Whereas I feel like Star Trek is just like, well, maybe we'll do something. Maybe, at some point. Maybe.
Well, they do have the advantage of, what, 4 different television franchises?
Yeah.
And how many hundreds of hours of content? Thousands of hours at this point?
So you're not counting the Star Trek animated series, is what I'm hearing.
No, actually, really, it should be like 5, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Original series, Next Generation, DS9,
yeah.
Voyager, Enterprise. That's 5. Well, 4.5 anyway.
It's been a long time.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, Deep Space Nine. And no, that song, Julie, you may end your streak of appearing on this show if you complete singing that song. I will put my foot down.
Yeah, seriously.
This is the Enterprise-free zone.
Seriously, not a thing.
I will turn off my mic. I will go to bed. I will table flip this podcast.
Take our ball and go home. I guess I can't do that because you're literally across
you're
the table from
home.
Me.
Yeah.
It would be awkward if I kind of cut you out of the podcast mid podcast, maybe.
All right. You
Alan, can you mute Julie, please?
Totally kidding,
Julie. I'm totally kidding.
You can call Enterprise not a thing. That's fine. I enjoyed it. I know I'm in the minority. That's fine.
So on a different topic, I hear that you have some art showing around town.
I do, just one piece right now, but I joined Works San Jose, which is a local artist group, and they're having a group show. So this is my, I guess this is my first official painting out in the wild at an actual show. I'm trying to do more of this, but I realized that I need to do a lot more paintings so I can have said paintings ready to go to have in shows.
Why is that?
Well, it's not the kind of thing like applying for a job. Like, when you apply for a job, you just have to convince the company that you can do the job. Then you get hired on and you do the thing. For painting, for doing any kind of art, you have to do all that well in advance. And then you have to go find the spot where it can be. So body of work comes first, and that's what I'm in the middle of right now. I'm slowly starting to build that up, and I need to build up enough that I don't sell to people. Like, that also makes it hard to show if you keep giving your work to other people and you don't have a set of paintings to show.
Yeah, the curse of popularity, Julie. Sorry. So what work are you showing right now?
Right now I've got a painting called Statement One, and I called it that because I wanted to make this series called Statement of paintings of people, and I wanted as a way to practice figure painting and also painting fabric and cloth. Just partially as a skill building thing for me, but also to see if I could communicate different personalities and different moods without relying on just strict portraits of, like, you know, person head on, you can see their facial expression. There's so much more that can also communicate who they are and how they're feeling. So those are the parameters that I've set up for myself. And Statement One is actually a painting of you, Alan.
Oh my god. It's like I didn't know that going into this conversation.
I see your game, you two. Like I said, I don't see it. This is a podcast. I hear your game.
Well, yeah, it is a cool painting of me, and yes, I enjoy it very much. Thank you very much for making me your number one, at least in paintings. But I think it's interesting that you call it Statement One, so you're assuming there's at least a two to go along, right? You're gonna get
that's how a series paintings. Works, Alan.
Well, yes, it's true, but it could be just like those weird like Vietnamese restaurants. It's like pho 59, but there's where 1 through 58.
There are not 58 more. Yeah.
One thing I realized is it drives me crazy to see paintings that are called untitled. So I promised myself I would never do that, but that meant I needed to come up with something to call everything. And I've been sticking to pretty simple descriptions of things as paintings go. Like, the most recent one I finished was a painting of our cat, Io. It was a photo that Alan took with... She's just yawning, so all you see is her mouth and these fangs and her tongue. So I ended up just calling that the big yawn, because that's what it is. And in other ones, I've painted portraits of people I know, and I'm just saying who they are and what they're doing. So I painted my grandfather. His name's Reno. So, and he had these magnifying glasses on, was looking at a paper. So that's Reno in focus, or Alan's parents, Lena and Manny, at dinner.
Oh, just... my gosh. It's like you're literally saying what's happening in the
painting. That's a classic artist move.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a reason that painters are painters and writers are writers.
Exactly. And I didn't want to come up with something deep and meaningful and interpretive at the moment for a title, and then later on come back to it and think, that was dumb. I shouldn't have picked that name. That's really pretentious. That's really silly.
Ooh, do you have any pretentiously named paintings?
Not that I remember.
Oh.
You should have one called Pretentious Statement.
Because I'm sure I've done it once or twice, and I was so ashamed of myself when I came back to the description. I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
Pretentious painting names. It's a thing, but it probably shouldn't be.
It's not my thing. I can't do it.
So do you have any advice for artists hoping to enter the scene or get their stuff shown or anything like that?
The thing that I've learned is there's a much larger social component to this than I thought. So it seems like the thing to do is to find artist groups and just start going out to stuff and meeting people and talk about your stuff and just get it out there as much as possible, because it seems like that's the way group shows come together and that's the way people get known. Beyond that, there's a reason they're called starving artists. I worked through just kind of what it would take to make a living out of this. And yeah, like, and not even trying to have it on par with what I currently do, making a living as a user experience designer. So no, not even that. Like, I'm looking at
poverty
minimum wage. Like, what would it take to live on minimum wage being an artist? And it's sobering because of the amount of time that it takes, the cost of the materials, and just it's a lot of work with pretty tiny payoff. So yeah,
that's why everybody does it.
I think it's a neat thing and it's a meaningful thing, but it's a struggle to figure out how to make the time for it, and let alone trying to support yourself with it.
So have you found your gallery yet? Your group?
No. I think if I keep up with it with the pace that I have, which is kind of this part-time pace, I think it's realistic to have found some groove for this in 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
I think it's going to take a little while.
Yeah. That's really impressive. I mean, like if you've listened to any comedy podcasts, a lot of comedians say that they don't get to the point where they get their voice until, you know, 7 or 10 years in to doing it. So that's, I mean, and you're not even talking about that. You're talking about once you have your voice, just trying to get to a place where people will see you. It's maybe 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think I really have my voice yet. I'm still bouncing around between different styles.
Or your, what would you call that? Not your voice, your hand?
Style.
Your paintbrush. Hand. You haven't gotten your paintbrush yet.
And you know, Alan, this podcast we're currently recording is in the comedy section of iTunes.
So we have 9 years, or yeah. 8 years, 8 years to get our act together, in other words.
Okay. Oh, man.
8 years is going to be how do we do this math? Like 400 more episodes? So by our 500th episode... We'll be
500.
We'll be rolling in it. Just rolling in it.
We'll be really good at it. We'll finally have transitions down. We won't pause at the beginning of the podcast.
Speaking of transitions,
we'll have guests who show up when we book them.
Yes, that would be beautiful. So, if you would like to be a guest on the Not a Thing podcast, you don't have to wait for us to ask you. You can just let us know. We'd love it.
You do have to let us know, though.
Yeah,
just record and then send it to us.
No, in fact, don't do that. And definitely don't record and then submit it to iTunes on our behalf and somehow hack into our feed.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Send it to us. You can feel free to record and send it to us. I will be thoroughly entertained.
Well, we'd be glad to have you on the air. We know people have things, and we like to talk about said things. It's good.
Well, one thing we all have in common tonight, I believe, is that we all completed the second season of Telltale's Walking Dead.
Yes.
Video game.
Yes, we did.
So I think we should put a spoiler out there. If you have not played this game and you plan on playing this game, we're going to talk about the game.
A little bit, yes. So we have all played through the first season of Walking Dead, the second season of Walking Dead, and the 400 Days episodes that were in between. Is that right?
That's right.
Correct.
Cool. All right. So what did you do? I know
I
what
shot
I did.
Him.
Yeah, me too. I shot the hell out of Kenny. I'm sorry.
So I didn't. I actually didn't.
And you let him stab her?
That was horrible, by the way. Horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. It, and I know Kenny was just not very redeemable. He was just becoming worse and worse. But I realized when it got to that point, I was really torn because I didn't know which way to go. I still felt loyalty to Kenny. And I didn't like those were the options I got. So the way it ended up rolling out for me was I looked away. So he stabbed her and she died. And then there was this conversation with him afterward. I still went and found Alvin Jr. So, yeah. You know, he's crying in the car, went and found him. And I got an option in the conversation with Kenny where one of the options that I could say in response to him talking about him reflecting on himself was, you're dangerous. And that seemed like the most accurate thing to me. So I chose that one. And he said, yeah, I know. And we talked a little bit. And then I got the option of stay with Kenny or leave. So I left. So I ended the game. It was just Clementine and Alvin Jr. So we ended up walking out into these fields with zombies, and it's the slow motion sequence of her coming across a zombie and cutting it open and putting all the guts on her and on Alvin Jr. and just walking through. And that was such a depressing way to end the game because I could see exactly what this series of options were. It was, you didn't stand firm. You didn't make a choice at the time when there was a life or death situation. Then you reflected on it afterward and realized, I can't be with this guy. So you end up alone with the baby.
You're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if my ending is necessarily better. I know when we talked about it, Julie, you thought it was better. But so I ended up shooting Kenny and I felt bad about it. And I thought Jane was crazy, but I still went with her. I probably shouldn't have. I mean, a lot of me was saying, don't go because you're a crazy lady. You're crazy. Don't do that.
But she's crazy or pragmatic, Alan.
Well, so I ended up going with Jane back to Carver's little Home Depot camp thing. And initially I thought, okay, well, this is all right. I don't fully trust her, but at least maybe we can make a better start of it. And then they threw in a monkey wrench of this little family that comes in to join us. And you have to say yes or no to them. And I was going with the thought, okay, if I'm going to be quote unquote consistent about what I was with Clementine and be safe and have people around me and trusting people who are trustworthy, I decided to welcome them into the group, even though what ends up happening is it ends with the cliffhanger of, okay, you've let them into the group, but the guy has a gun. So you're like, is this okay? Maybe not. This probably isn't going to end badly. And so I think I got a lame ending because it's not very final and it's not very uplifting. You end up with kind of a group that you're not sure of and with a woman you're not sure of, and it's just a cliffhanger. It's another cliffhanger. I don't know. Brandon, where did you end up?
I ended up in the same place as you.
Oh, interesting. So did you watch any of the other endings?
No, but I went and read what they were later.
So I actually think, because there were a few other different endings, and I think the one where you end up with Kenny leaving the place and going out on your own sounded like the most...
sounded the most hopeful.
Yeah. Even though I don't know if I would have agreed with staying with Kenny. I just think that by the end of that, of the whole season, especially with all the stuff with Sarita, I didn't want to be around Kenny anymore.
Yeah, pretty much once Sarita died, I wanted Kenny to get offed, and he kept not getting offed, and then when they gave me the option, I took it.
But how much of a bitch was Bonnie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I wanted to kill her when she first showed up.
So did both of you not help him when he was falling through the ice, or did you help him?
What did I do? I did not help. I did not help him.
Neither did I. I went with what he asked for, which was to
exactly.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this was good. I think it was a good set of episodes. And I do think that the ending was annoying because it was such a hard choice. But I think it was annoying not because it was a hard choice, but because it was telegraphed. Like, you could tell it was going to be a Jane or Kenny thing in, like, episode 3, I feel like, of this season. So I didn't feel great about when it finally got there because I also didn't feel like I had a good foundation of why.
That Russian kid was an asshole.
Yes. Yeah. Arvo. God. I should have let Kenny beat him up. I stopped.
Yeah.
I knew I should have.
That's one thing I really like about these games is how they do such a good job at that ambiguity and the no great solutions thing. One of the things they did at the end of this one was they did a callback to something you did in a previous episode that I was still feeling guilty about. So oh. When Clementine is with a new group and then they come across Kenny and Sarita and it's like, wait, Kenny's alive. And then you get the choice of where to sit for dinner.
Oh, that's right.
I sat with a new group instead of Kenny. And because I'm like, oh, well, it's a new group. And then I see Kenny all guilty. I'm like, oh, no. And then
Kenny will remember this.
Right? And he did, because at the end of this episode, he said, he called back to it. He's like, you know, when I saw you, I'm so glad you're alive. And when I saw you sit with those other people. And I'm like, oh, no. But then he talks
I sat with him.
And so then he talks about, like, oh, how, you know, grown up you were or whatever. And I'm like, phew.
And then you shoot him.
I didn't shoot him.
Oh, that was me. That's oh, right. I'm sorry. That's right. I'm sorry.
So I don't know. Is that a mixed message? I sat with him at dinner and then I shot him.
Yeah, I didn't sit with him and then I shot him. So
there you go. Oh, Alan, you're the worst.
Yeah.
I think my favorite moment, though, in this season was when they had the flashback with Clementine and Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, it had no bearing on the story other than a telegraph, like, you have to make a really hard decision.
Yeah.
But that first season was so good.
Yeah, when the music cue kicked in.
Yeah.
For her falling asleep, or for her going under, because she was shot, and then she kind of blacks out, and then you hear the music cue. My first thought was, oh, wow, this is the old season theme song. I wonder why they're doing... And then it's the flashback, and I'm like,
Lee might be one of my favorite characters from any video game I've ever played.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Although, I never did what I was planning to do after I played through the first season, which was... I really wanted to go back through and play as asshole Lee, because I would make all these good choices, but I'd see the other ones and think,
Yeah. I always say I'm going to do that when I play a game, and I never go back to it.
Right.
I tried doing it once with Mass Effect, and I made it about 2 hours in, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. This feels unnatural.
It's really weird. I mean, we were joking about that earlier because I had just bought a one of the things that I got from PAX was I got a new headset, new gaming headset, and it's pretty cool. And I was playing with it and stuff, and I was thinking to myself, oh well, it's a headset, so I'm not only playing. I mostly got it so I wouldn't fill the house with, you know, gunshots and screaming when I'm playing a game. You know, I'm trying to be a good citizen at my house. But my secondary thought was, oh, well, I could use it as a headset and, like, actually talk to people and everything. And I'm like, no, I don't really want to talk online because people online are assholes.
Yeah, it's true.
And so my first thought was, oh, I should imitate them to kind of show what it's like to, you know, because we were in the car and we were talking about it. And then I found myself, I can't do it. I can't be a racist, misogynist asshole because it's so against my nature. I can't even pretend to talk about them in kind of a jokey way. It's such a, like, automatic cutoff thing for me.
Actually, that's coming up at this contract that I'm working on, too, because...
You have to be a racist, misogynist asshole at work?
No, but we're working on this community-type product, and we've been talking about how to test out all the admin functions and just... We need to put in some intentionally bad content. And it's the same hesitation. No one wants to do it. So this actually came up just today. The thing that we're doing is, for porn specifically, instead of posting porn, we found an analog. And I think the analog is cupcakes. So if you post pictures of cupcakes, that's the equivalent of porn. Like, that's the bad content. And so that's the stuff that you have to look for and you have to ban and or flag or whatever.
Well, to be fair, porn is much less fattening.
Yes. Screw carbs. I mean, that came out from the National Institutes of Health just last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, low carb diets versus low fat diets.
Cupcakes, that's all calories. Porn burns calories.
Thing. Anyway, I'm glad we had this time to talk with you, Julie. I'm glad you were able to be on the show.
Sure.
Thanks for coming online. Before we send you away, what are you drinking?
I'm currently drinking a beer. This is Avery Brewing Company, and the beer specifically is Ellie's Brown Ale. Ellie is their chocolate lab. And, oh, this is from Boulder, Colorado. I didn't know that. A fine Colorado beer.
Excellent.
Excellent. I am drinking a Bullet Rye, which is okay. It's good. It's not. It's nice. As rye whiskeys go, it's good. I still prefer Bullet's bourbon to their rye, but this was a gift, so I can't poo-poo it that much. Brennan, are you having anything for this evening?
I'm having a nice concoction of hydrogen and oxygen, some delicious water.
Mmm, excellent. Excellent.
Room temperature. Yeah. My second least favorite temperature.
Well, we'll probably wrap this up this week, so you can hopefully go get some ice for that that water. And like I said, we'll be back next week, hopefully, possibly with a guest, but possibly not. But if you'd like to be our guest, let us know. We'll only hold you to the standard that is our normal episode of show, which if you listen to the podcast, you know is really not that high of a standard. So we'd be happy to have you on, really. Really.
Oh, and I forgot to get in our plug for the week, hashtag Flat Earth.
Yes. If you also are interested in sponsoring the show and having us say something on air regarding whatever you would like to sponsor us for, including the flatness of the Earth, we would be happy to do so, because we're currently broadcasting from the hole. It's not so much a hole in any other sense than monetarily. I love being on the show. We've been doing it for 107 episodes now, so you know, it's not like we dislike being on the show at all. We would just like maybe a little money now and then to pay for hosting and equipment and all that kind of stuff. booze, mostly, really. Let's be clear. You'd be paying for drinks for us.
Yeah, that's the start. That's the top of the pyramid. I mean, it's not a pyramid scheme. That's not what I'm saying.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, Brennan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.
Bye, Julie.
Bye.
Bye, Julie.